B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
My man.
So I wanted to build in those apartments that I can't afford to live in, you know? just wanted to say, I'm with you. I'm happy for Andy Reid. Like I tell you all the time, dude. I grew up best friend Giants fan, dad Cowboys fan, your cousin the Washington fan, and now my wife the Eagles fan. So it's actually easy to just float around the NFC East and be able to say, oh, whatever. But, yeah, definitely happy for Andy Reid. He took the Eagles to a lot of conference championships and to a Super Bowl, and, you know, it didn't play out the way they wanted it to. But I think everybody in Philly should be happy for Andy Reid. Be careful how much you joke about, like, the guys being dead, Tupac and...
I'm not. That's, see, know, that's why I moved on.
I'm not even joking about it. Tupac's alive.
Yeah, they're having a thing, man. They're partying together, you know. But, all right, man, just wanted to check in. I love listening to you guys. You guys get me through this drive every day. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, brother. Bobby. Back at you, Bobby. Really appreciate it.
That was more laughing at my own stupidity than him being dead.
If we can't laugh at ourselves,
yes.
Who else can we laugh at?
Oh, I laugh at Jamie all the time.
You are listening.
Well, I just noticed my fly's been down for like 3 hours. So
Sam and I noticed it at 5 a.m., but we just decided not to say anything.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been down probably since 4:30 this morning. Just noticed it last break.
Working on a sibling for Skylar already?
Oh, damn.
What?
Damn, Mark.
What? Good for him. By the way, I'm getting the same tweet now from Gaming Scruffs on Twitter saying that, yeah, they got booed so bad and it was a picture of Destiny's Child. Not a good move by them at all.
Yeah, they didn't think that out.
They did not. They were poorly managed. Let's put it that way. You are listening to 975 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We've been getting into this all morning long, as you would expect. First off, let me just say this about the games themselves. Yesterday was a wild day. Like, even when somebody's doing as poorly as Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, they just got owned yesterday. I sit back and I marvel at greatness being humbled. And I am a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers. The guy's incredible, obviously. But am I alone that when somebody does as poorly as the Packers did as an entire team, but most notably on offense yesterday, when they are as bad, is it almost as impressive to watch them fall? Because I went out there expecting a much better game than that. I didn't expect a blowout. I expected to see a team like the 49ers take care of business. I didn't expect them to absolutely dismantle the Green Bay Packers. And that's exactly what they did for at least the first three quarters of yesterday's game. That was a wild game. Are you ever as impressed by somebody not meeting expectations? Because I am. And yesterday, watching the San Francisco 49ers do to the Green Bay Packers what they did as a defensive unit was just incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is getting some of the Cam Newton treatment for not diving on that fumble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of backed away a little bit.
Yeah, kind of. He didn't even look at it.
No, he was kind of done with that
game. I thought the week prior he was like vintage A-Rod for the first time. Like he wasn't like that all year. Uh-huh. Like he kind of took a step back. I think Father Time's catching up with him a little bit. But last week I was like, oh man, that was vintage Rodgers. Well, they're going to have a shot.
Well, they started talking about this.
Nope.
They started talking about this during the broadcast. It's been 10 years since Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. And I saw another tweet, and it's right. When you think that Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, two of the most talented quarterbacks ever, only have one ring each, it really puts into perspective how incredible Brady going to 9 is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God, yeah.
But, like, wow.
But on the same note, you look at guys in their 40s, like Brees has just turned 40.
I think he's, yeah.
And then you have, I think he just turned 40. Then Tom Brady is 42.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is 39? 20,
is he that 30, old
38
already?
Maybe?
Yeah, jeez.
And I'm thinking about these other guys, like you just watched Keekly retire from the NFL at 28. Yeah. Granted, completely different position in the NFL, if doing anything to protect players other than Carson Wentz, they're protecting quarterbacks. Like, how many more guys are going to be playing into their 40s? How many more guys are going to be playing 38, you know, 40, 42
years
old?
Hopefully Wentz is.
Well, yeah, we all hope that. But when you think about it, if this becomes more and more of a thing where skilled position players, your wide receivers, your linebackers even, right, those guys are hanging it up early. Are we going to come to a point where maybe these long-lasting quarterback careers are going to start going by the wayside as guys make their money, they make their guaranteed money, and then decide to step away?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, obviously it all depends. It goes hand in hand with how the NFL protects the quarterback. Are they going to are they going to make it even worse? Like, oh, you touch a quarterback 15 yards. It could be. Quarterbacks get a couple of hits. We saw with Carson Wentz. You get a couple of them a year. Now you're going down the road of a Luke Kuechly where you're like, is this good for me? Like, I don't know what to do. I've made, in Carson Wentz's case, like 100 and some million. Is it going to be a case 5 years down the road where he says, well, yeah. Why?
It's the drive to compete that keeps these guys going. By the way, Rodgers just turned 36. I thought he turned 37. Okay. Just turned 36 in December.
But yeah, that happened quick.
Well, because he had the first 3 years of his career, we're all backing up Brett Favre.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just wild to think about it. But just from the play itself in the game, the 49ers, what they've done with a guy like Bosa, for instance, has just been nothing short of amazing. And then you go on the other side of the football and you have people talking about how the Eagles could have had Mostert, for instance, and he ran all over the field 229 yards yesterday. He did basically whatever he wanted to. And then you go to the earlier game as well.
And by the way, look at Jimmy G's stat line yesterday.
77 yards. Eight passes he threw.
6 for 8?
That's ridiculous.
In the modern NFL?
37 points for a quarterback that went 6 for 8 for 77 yards.
I couldn't believe
it. Pop Warner-like.
Yeah, I looked at it and I was like, wait, that's not right. And then I was like, oh yeah, he didn't really throw the ball.
By accident, he would throw for 200.
Kyle Shanahan after the game was like, yeah, you do with what works. Stick with what works.
And sometimes it's that easy.
How novel. Like, just, wow, what a great offensive mind. Oh, this guy's running all over the place for you. Keep giving him the football.
Until they stop him.
Exactly. Don't stop yourself. Make the other team stop you, and that's what they did yesterday. But still, it didn't matter, because whatever they did offensively, if the ball went in the other direction, it was either 3 and out or a turnover from the Packers. They weren't able to get anything going until late in the first half when they had the Jimmy Graham touchdown that ended up getting called back down at the one, and then they punched it in. It was a wild game to see the Packers really just be taken apart as much as they were yesterday.
And I think that's what makes the Super Bowl so much fun. I mean, that defensive line for San Francisco is so fun to watch. And now you're putting them up against Patrick Mahomes and those guys. Like, this is going to be a fun, fun Super Bowl.
And did you see Nick Bosa on the sideline yesterday? Going over his like swim move.
Oh yeah, with another defensive line.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he was just like, I was like, oh, that's refreshing.
Going over technique.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was wild.
He's a freak.
Then aside from anything that has to do with Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs, they openly referred to him as this throughout the broad, like the best quarterback in the league right now, Patrick Mahomes. Like, Lamar Jackson is going to be the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
But if you're redrafting the NFL right now, is Patrick Mahomes your quarterback?
Yeah.
I think he has to be.
Yeah.
I know.
He combines. He can throw.
Everything.
Yeah.
He combines everything. I don't want to use this term, because when I think of this term, I think of a guy that's one of my favorite athletes all time in Philadelphia, and that's Randall Cunningham. He's an ultimate weapon. He can. He was the Chiefs' leading rusher yesterday. He's had, I think, 100 total yards rushing throughout the playoffs, and he's also chucking the football down the field like nobody else is. And the arm angle throws, bringing guys back. The scramble he had yesterday for 27 yards in the touchdown, where I believe six or seven different Tennessee Titans touched him on the run, and he wouldn't go down. That game was over the second Patrick Mahomes dove over the goal line for that touchdown. Kansas City Chiefs took the lead from that point on. And it was it. That was all she wrote. I was marveling at a guy like Patrick Mahomes and the way he was playing the game yesterday. There was nothing he couldn't do on the football field.
The game is in slow motion for him.
Yeah, and it was cool because on that run, time's running out in the half. So you think, all right, he'll take the couple yards and he'll get out of bounds. And I think that's what a lot of Tennessee guys did, because it looked like a couple of them were standing up straight. And then it's like, oh, he didn't go out of bounds. And even the call that I heard this morning, the call on Kansas City radio, their guy says, Mahomes scrambles away and he gets out of bounds. Oh, no, he's still in bounds. Like, they thought he was just running out of bounds also.
It's unbelievable, because if you watch that play, somebody's in pursuit, like in the pocket, about to kind of trip him up from behind. And he almost just looks back at them, and he does like a little stutter step right when the guy's swinging to swipe at his ankles, and just the guy completely misses, and then he just takes off around the corner and toasts another guy, and you're like, damn, he's playing at like multiple speeds and levels here that other people just aren't at.
And he dropped back so far, avoiding the rusher, that I was shocked that it was only 27 yards.
I know.
It was like 35 at least. Yeah.
It was wild. And multiple guys trying to bring him down on that play, and he steamrolled some of them. I thought he was going to be down for sure at the 5-yard line. He spun out of that and right across the goal line. It was wild. So just from a football fan's perspective, it was a wild, wild Sunday watching the conference championship play. But then, as to what hits closer to home for us is the obvious, is that a guy that was a coach here for 14 years and did things here in Philadelphia that you could definitely argue are underappreciated, because with so much success, Bob, as you've pointed out, it's amazing what you can get used to. Well, we got used to a certain level of play with Andy Reid being here in Philadelphia for those 14 years. I mentioned he's been a coach in the NFL for 21 years. He's been a head coach. Only 7 of those 21 years, he's had sub-double-digit win seasons. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, and 2008 was one of those years, and he went to the NFC Championship with the Eagles to Arizona.
Wild.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild. And you think about a guy who did all those things here, winning his coach in our franchise's history, winning his playoff coach in our franchise's history. He did turn the franchise around from games that got blacked out to now pretty much like the Eagles being a staple for 5 or 6 nationally televised games every single year. I mean, a lot of that went back to Andy Reid. If you talk to national producers, people that make the decisions in the NFL and the television networks, they always want to make sure they have a team that is going to be competitive in prime time. And the number one person you look at for that is the head coach. Is this guy worthy of our trust to invest a prime time game to make sure that there are a nationally televised game, whether it be a 4:25 game or an 8:20 kickoff time? Can you trust this guy to build a competitive team? And Andy Reid is one of the number one guys on that list. He did it here in Philadelphia, and he's been doing it while he's been in Kansas City, building a team that is trustworthy to television networks, because they know that if they have a Chiefs game, or way back when they had an Eagles game, they could trust Andy Reid to at least put a competitive product on the field because nobody wanted a blowout. Andy Reid's done that at the national level, and he did that here as well, helping turn around the Eagles organization. And I think most people respect him for that. I think most people acknowledge him for that. But I don't know if people look at him and go, "All right, this is good. We're rooting for Andy to win a Super Bowl elsewhere."
45% too.
Apparently, according to our poll, about 45% of people are saying, "Yeah, they're excited for Andy Reid." I can't get to a point of being excited for Andy. I feel good for him. I'm not angry. I have no ill will towards Andy Reid. Maybe a lot of that has to do with the fact that we have won since he's left. But do people, and I want to get this from people, it's 610-632-0975, and obviously it's our Twitter poll as well. Andy Reid making it back to a Super Bowl, does it make you feel really anything? Do you just look at Andy Reid and go, "Oh, what the hell, he's just another coach of another team, who cares?" Or do you look at, "That's still our guy. He made his bones here in Philadelphia. He established himself as a successful NFL head coach here in Philly for 14 years. Do you take ownership of it at all? Or do you just, no, that's totally different, no, totally removed from it now?"
Yeah, it's weird. Thinking about it, I am looking more forward to the Super Bowl because he's in it. You know, like I said before, yeah, I want him to win this. And I'm not going to be outwardly, "Let's go Chiefs," and I just want it to be a good game. But if he wins, I'll have a big smile on my face. But I want to look at that familiar person in this role for 2 weeks because I'm familiar with him. And, it makes me look forward to it a little bit more. That sounds strange. But just being as you know in Andy Reid, for me, it puts more onto this Super Bowl than it would if it was just two teams that, you know, whatever.
I guess. I don't hate on Andy Reid. I respect the hell out of him.
You have no feeling at all for Andy Reid.
I have an appreciation because he did turn the franchise around. I mean, he can't really say he didn't do that because we all watched it. I mean, 14 years he's here. Division titles, conference championship games. Look, I know that he only took us so far and I was suffering with everybody else in that same era. I get it. But when you look back on it and you think about all the things that stayed the same over his success here, it is wild to think about. We always talk about Donovan McNabb and the worm burners, and I've mentioned this before. What did he get better at? Not much. What did Andy Reid get better at? Well, he did change his offense. He started stretching the field a little bit more after having a deeper threat, like a guy like Terrell Owens. It took 5 years to get a number one target, but when he got one, this team went to a Super Bowl finally. We always argued about running the football enough. We yelled about press conferences. We yelled about how he didn't answer questions. We talked about how he couldn't win the big game, and clock management was always a thing. Timeouts left. Timeouts not there anymore. he was far from perfect while he was here, but he made this city, or he made this city in a football sense, relevant again.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something that I always appreciate about Andy Reid. I'll always have thanks for Andy Reid over that. But as far as him going elsewhere, 7 years ago, and me going, ah, Andy, way to go. Like, I will not experience any ounce of joy if Andy Reid hosts a Lombardi Trophy. Because it does not affect us in Philadelphia in the least bit. And no, I think, no. But that's ultimately what I'm rooting for.
Yeah.
And even though we raised our trophy 2 years ago, whatever, like, I look at it and I think, okay, if that wasn't there, would I feel angry that Andy Reid would host the Lombardi Trophy?
I'm thinking yes.
Yeah, as much as I want to say I'd be a bigger man, I think I would feel angry. But now I've been upgraded to, oh, good for him.
See, he's pretty much a victim of his own success here in Philadelphia.
You
mentioned two names before, and Dick Vermeil and Buddy Ryan.
Absolutely.
Vermeil did get them to a Super Bowl. He did get the maximum out of that team that he had here. Took a little while. You know, he was different. But longevity wasn't there at all. Not like Andy Reid, not at all. Buddy Ryan can't even hold a stick to him. Yet, those two are probably universally here in Philadelphia more beloved than Andy Reid.
We saw a lot of emotion and Dick Vermeil, and I didn't experience it. Like I went back. I've been told by people that covered him. I watched the specials and read the stories and all that. But like, when you do go back and you watch anything with him, he was always emotional. We're a very emotional city.
Yeah.
Buddy Ryan was emotional, not with tears, but with with words.
Yeah.
Like you kind of knew what he was thinking, and that identified with us. That hit close to home. Andy Reid was a Mike Holmgren, everything's close to the vest, everything's your fault when you're the head coach. Like Andy Reid, I remember there was a decision to go for it on fourth down. One of the many years Marty Morningweg was his offensive coordinator. And there had been talk about how Andy was giving more of the play calling to Marty Morningweg. Something I'll always have a hard time believing with Andy Reid until video evidence, as it has now with Eric Bieniemy, has come out and said that, you know, or not come out, but you see him calling the play.
Right.
And there was a fourth down situation, and Andy Reid got asked whose decision was it to go for it on fourth down. And Andy paused for a second, which he never does. He usually just says, that's on me, that's I got to do a better job.
I
think that might be the answer from that.
That was not the answer.
Okay.
So he's in his press conference, and there was a downbeat where you could tell he was thinking about it, and he just said, I did. Like, he didn't come up with it. It wasn't his idea to go for it, but he took it on the chin for Marty, and that's it. Like, anyone who knew anything knew that he was just taking one for his guy. And that's kind of how he has been. But after 14 years of that, you want a little bit more honesty. Now, granted, yeah, if he wins, it's a totally different story. But he didn't, and that's how it ended here in Philadelphia. And we didn't run him out of town, despite what some people want to try to drill into national naive people's heads. He was here 14 years. He gave it his all. He helped turn a franchise around, hopefully for the rest of time. But it's just not something that worked out. And other than feeling, hey, good for him, or even seeing him yesterday, raise the Hunt Trophy. Hey, good for you. Like, good. I'm glad. But I don't know if I'll be openly rooting for the guy to win on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know. I won't be rooting for the Chiefs because I don't have that much, but I will be happy if he wins it. I have to admit, I know there will be a smile on my face when I'm watching it and he's getting the trophy and raising it up.
Let's get to, Hodge. What's up, Hodge? Hodge? Good talk. David in Baltimore, what's going on?
How are you guys?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, good. First of the games yesterday before I got to Andy Reid. So it's really interesting that the more that people say football has evolved and, you know, it's a passing league, and it is. I'm not saying it's not. Give me a running game and a good defense in the playoffs. Because if you look at the Titans almost rode their running game to a Super Bowl. And you know, what's interesting, I was talking to my brother about this yesterday, even when the Eagles won their Super Bowl, a lot of people forget that a good portion of the of that was LeGarrette Blount. Running the ball, keeping the chains moving. So it's very nice to have a nice passing game, and you got to have good receivers. But if you look back over the last 10 years, the teams that generally go further are teams that have good running games and good defenses into the playoffs. So that's just an observation I saw over, you know, over the weekend. And look at a team like the Saints, right? Great passing game.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make it out of the second round.
Yeah, well, the quarterback's got a rag arm now, man. It's a shame. You hate to see it.
So, and to Andrew, look, I'm just, I think I'm with you on this one. I'm not going to really feel any sort of, I mean, I would want to see the Chiefs win. For some reason, I just don't like the Niners. And I like Patrick Mahomes. I think he's a super fun quarterback to watch. It's going to be a very interesting Super Bowl. And I don't really have any animosity towards Andy, even though I do think we should have won at least one Super Bowl with him. And he definitely cost us a lot of playoff games and a lot of heartache. So, but we won one. So I can't. Can't be as angry at it.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, David. Thanks for the call, man. Always good talking to you. The animosity thing, I got to admit, it's still there for me.
Really?
Like, I hate to go so far as to say I hold a grudge, but I there is a little animosity still there. Just because, regardless of if Doug Peterson comes here and ends up setting up a dynasty, it doesn't matter because there's 14 years where we would yell and scream about something, and then 2 years later, we'd see it.
Yeah, like it. Why are you letting go of Jeremiah Trotter?
Yeah.
And it's like 2 years later, it's like, oh, yeah. Why are you drafting Jeremy Bloom as punt returner? Well, yeah, we made a mistake.
Well, why don't you get a number one wide receiver is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You're going to have a West Coast offense, and you're just going to have a bunch of, like, average guys?
Why don't you run Deuce Staley on third and one instead of a pass to somebody's ankles?
Mm. And you know what? People always rag on the draft pick of Freddie Mitchell. Freddie Mitchell caught the ball, and then Andy got pissed at him, and they stopped throwing him the ball. Donovan got pissed at him, and they stopped throwing him the ball. Like, you had more here to work with than I think people thought, and even that you wouldn't use to the most you could have. And then you had to wait to get a guy like T.O. in here. And then after that, it was Dante Stallworth was a guy they later brought in, had a little bit of success with.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy to think about, but it took a long time of us bitching and moaning about things, and then they would finally happen. That's kind of how I look back on the Andy Reid era. And yeah, and I hate using this because it's a pat on the back while it's a slap in the face. It's the expression you just used, Bob, which is a victim of your own success. Like, look how far I brought you. Yeah, but now that we're here, we're not enjoying the ultimate prize. And so many times you get us to that point. I wonder, what if you did go out somewhere through the Andy Reid era and you did hire somebody else to try to take them to that next level, similar to what happened in Indianapolis with Tony Dungy leaving the Buccaneers, mm-hmm. and then John Gruden going there, and the next guy brought him over the hump. That was one of the conversations that was had about Andy Reid. What if you brought in that other guy that was going to push this team to the next level? What if that happened within the 14 years? It could have.
Wow.
We will never know.
Yeah, no. But God, those 14 years, that was a lot of fun and a lot of success.
You were always in it.
Yeah.
You were always in it.
And that's how I always viewed it.
Let's get Mitchie Poo up here. What's up, Mitch in East Windsor?
How's it going? Mark,
good, buddy.
Mark and company. Everybody, you're right, please the fifth when I get on, it seems.
Oh, no. We got you, man.
I'm with you. Andy Reid, if he has a good quarterback, he'll get you to the playoffs. And he's got an exceptional quarterback. He's got a real good wide receiver. I think maybe he should draft a running back. But I think he's going against a great defensive line there. These are 4-5. First round picks, 4 by San Francisco, 1 with D4 was a first round pick from KC. I don't know what Andy Reid was letting him go. And the quarterback's good, and they have a really good running back. So I think Andy Reid's going to come up short. But I think this puts him in the Hall of Fame, getting to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that he was pretty surefire to get in there anyway. But yeah, this would definitely put him in the Super Bowl, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Right, and maybe you can do a little commencement speak in Canton. Maybe he'll select you to do so. What do you think?
Yeah, sure, I would do it. If I did Andy Reid's induction speech to the Hall of Fame, I would say he needed to do a better job, and he finally did.
Hopefully, he's got somebody to do his timeouts in the Super Bowl. But one more thing, I'm sure you'll play any Frank Sinatra song if you do his speaking.
Yeah, I would be like, oh, sorry, Mitch, didn't mean to cut you off. I would, I'd be like Tommy McDonald playing a song at the Hall of Fame induction. 610-632-0975. That's a fun fantasy, Bob.
What song do you attach to Andy Reid? It's got to be like a Jimmy Buffett song or something.
Oh,
right?
Sinatra would be My Way.
Well, yeah.
Did you see Andy Reid's quote about Miami? Yes, I did.
I
got to lose some weight to fit into my Miami clothes.
Good luck to you. It was actually nasty. I remember one of the national. I think it was on Sunday Night Football when Sunday Night Football was on ESPN. And one of the reporters looks at Andy Reid, or not reporters, one of the broadcast guys goes, is Andy Reid losing weight? And just like without missing a beat, the color analyst goes, no. Just like, no, not even a breath went by. 610-632-0975. We'll try Hodge again later. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 9:24.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
You said we can go on a school night, though. Right?
Go on a school night. Be a bad boy.
Nah, because daughter has exams all week, so I need to stay home to make sure she's studying. Yeah. Maybe Friday night. I have something Saturday
night.
Wait,
are you telling me that Jenna won't study if you leave her to her own?
Well, she hasn't yet, so...
That doesn't mean it can't happen. Look at Andy Reid.
I'm not putting my eggs in those baskets.
Interesting. 1917.
So we had an interesting thing happen. I was going to tell you guys during the break, but I'll bring it on air now. So, because we were talking about parents and stuff like that. You guys were talking about stories of your parents.
Oh, yeah.
So Saturday night, we go out with friends to dinner. And Jenna and her new boyfriend stayed at the house with Tommy, and they were watching TV. Well, you know how you have those friends that you just belly laugh with all the time? Mm-hmm. Well, this is who we went out with on Saturday.
Nice.
So we had a great time at dinner, and it was a BYOB place, you know, so we brought a couple bottles of wine or whatever. So we're going into our house afterwards, and we're just laughing about something that had just happened, like hysterical laughing as we walk in the door. Well, I walk in the door, and I had the two bottles of wine in my hand because we didn't finish them. Mm. And we're like roaring laughing. And Jenna's new boyfriend, who we just met, like sees us laughing and have mostly empty bottles of wine in my hand. And I had to look at him and go, no, we're not drunk. I swear to God. But I had to explain myself to a 17-year-old boy this weekend.
Yeah. He's like, you're not, but I am.
Nice liquor cabinet, Mr. Cooney.
Yeah.
There's a couple more almost empty bottles of wine. Yeah. I swear they were like that when I got
them. I put water in them.
That's wild.
Oh,
man.
I've had that happen to me before.
I on that note, my one cousin is 23 years old. She's a great girl. Graduated college. She's dating a 19-year-old guy.
God, the freakiness of your cousins just is never ending.
There's no freakiness. Like, that's 4 years difference. He's in college. She's just out of college. And
he's a freshman.
Sophomore, I think. Oh, okay. Yeah. But whatever.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, that's just a huge age gap. Like, she's been going to bars for 2 years legally, and then he's not going to bars at all.
Legally, yeah.
And I just thought about that. I'm like, but I was thinking about this for a second. Like, what's the problem in that relationship? Like, every relationship has a problem. They've been together for a couple of months. Every relationship, like, what, for that age group, what's a problem?
Yeah, there shouldn't be many,
like,
right?
You didn't hit skip intro in time on Netflix? Like, that's, like, probably the biggest issue in their relationship. And I've asked them this, and it actually is the biggest problem in their relationship.
Well, I would think the biggest problem would be her saying, you know, oh, we're going to the bar with my friends. You can't come because you can't get in.
He's got a good fake.
Yeah.
I didn't ask because I don't champion. Oh, yeah. I don't champion that cause. Respect your elders, stay on bars. I don't know. No fakes. Frank in South Jersey. What's going on, Frank?
Yo, what's up?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Bob, I don't know if you might remember me, but this is Captain Nipple Pants from PJ Wellahan's.
Yeah! What's up, brother?
What's up, man? How's it going?
We need
all good.
You can't just say that.
What's happening?
Tell him the story, Frank.
All right, so Cooney was at PJ Wellahan's for the Eagles-Giants game on Monday Night Football, and they were doing trivia. And me and my brother signed up, and when they gave us the form to fill out, they're like, you got to put your name. So me and my brother put Captain Nipple Pants, because that's what we call my dad. So.
Yes.
Does he wear his pants at his nipples? Is that where that comes from?
Yeah, he hikes his pants all the way up. It's hilarious.
Frank, you won, didn't you?
Yeah, we won. And that's right. I had to say Captain Nipple Pants over the microphone. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's a good moment.
And I loved it.
But, yo, I'm rooting for Andy Reid this weekend. I love Patrick Mahomes. I think he's a beast. And I got no problems. I grew up, you know, grew up an Eagles fan, diehard. Andy Reid drove me bonkers. But, you know, I don't have any other skin in the game. So, you know, I'll root for Andy Reid. I got no problems.
All right, if the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl a couple years ago, Frank.
I'd be pissed.
See, there it is. Mark hit on that earlier.
I'd be apoplectic about if the Eagles didn't have the Super Bowl, I'd be bonkers.
All right.
I'd borderline not watch the Super Bowl.
Captain Nipple Pants, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right, Frank.
Captain Nipple Pants.
Captain Nipple Pants is one of the most polite callers we've ever had.
Yeah,
no. Thank you.
He's absolutely right, though.
What?
If we didn't have Super Bowl 52.
Yeah, probably.
It would be a whole different bag of peanuts.
Like, I would. I was out in Pittsburgh some years ago after, it was 09, because they just won the Super Bowl. And I was listening to sports talk radio out there. And it was like, wow, they're ripping a coach that just won a Super Bowl. And then it got me thinking, how are we going to be?
Yeah. I'll never forget when we worked that Patriots game. It was the year, it was the opening, the home opener. It was like the Thursday night game. And they started booing the Patriots heading in the locker room right after they raised the banner. And I was like, these ingrate, crumb, terrible sports fans. And then 2018 came around, and sure enough, boos started happening pretty quickly. And I was like, oh, I guess we're just like them.
The night without the success.
Wasn't it Andy Reid's team that was?
I think it was. It might have been Chiefs-Patriots.
It was Chiefs-Patriots, and the Chiefs were plastering
them. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. And who knew?
And I was also listening to sports talk radio up there, and they're like, you know, this is Jimmy Garoppolo. Time to give him the ball. Time to give Jimmy Garoppolo the ball. Move. Tell Tom, thanks for your time, Tom, and move on. And you know what? They probably weren't wrong, even though they went to another two Super Bowls and won another one.
Jimmy G with the big 8 pass attempts in the NFC Championship game.
That is wild. Yeah. I still think he's a good quarterback.
He is.
That's just not what that game needed.
But 8 pass attempts. Wow.
You think about it, too. Like, does that have an effect come Super Bowl time? Maybe not, but San Fran had a bye week, right? So they had a bye week?
Yes.
He plays a playoff game and then doesn't throw another week. Now he has another week off. Like, it's going to be a month since this guy threw, like, serious passes in a football game when they line up to play the Super Bowl.
I'll give you a reason why I'm going to root for the Chiefs. If I do root for the Chiefs, why I would. Tano Passanio. Love the product.
Villanova kid.
Yeah. He went to Wasagon
High School.
Yeah, I know a couple guys that are good friends with him.
Yeah. I saw my Ambler people blowing up my timeline on social media.
Very cool.
Yeah, local kid, Wasagon High.
Yeah, we had him on the station right when he got drafted.
Yep, same as...
And Shady. I mean, Shady's kind of... Let's come back off the field. But on the field, I always loved him as an Eagle.
We're talking about happy stories today.
Yeah.
Speaking of local kids, your high school had a nice win yesterday.
Archbishop Wood in overtime?
Double overtime against Roman Catholic.
Oh, they beat Roman.
Yeah.
That sophomore they have is number one in his class in the country.
Buzzer beater at the end of the first overtime to force the second.
Wow.
And then they won because they're a dominant force. let's get to Hodge. What's going on, Hodge?
Hey, listen up. I was watching those games yesterday, as you said. I was saying, we're not going to have a quarterback like any of those two that were winners yesterday. I mean, we're so far behind Mahomes and Jimmy G with this quarterback that we got. Don't you think?
No.
Why not? Well, I know, obviously, you're going to say that because you're like Sam, you're in love with this quarterback.
Going to say that Jimmy Garoppolo is far better than Carson Wentz?
A couple things, yeah, obviously. That, and with Mahomes particularly, he says, you know, they ask him about after the game, how does it feel to be, so great and all this. He says, I got so many weapons. He says, my weapons are make me better. And, you know, that's something Carson Wentz is never going to be able to say in this town. Again, that's another thing that I don't think. So can we look in the
So draft? That's a fault of management then, not of Carson Wentz.
Well, both. I mean, I'm thinking Carson Wentz is not good enough to rise to the level of Mahomes or Jimmy G. Not even
Jimmy G. You're kidding on that. You have to be kidding, Hodge, right?
He can't even stay on the field, first of all, and that's one thing you got to do.
Uh-huh.
No, why don't you look at this objectively instead of like you're in love with Carson Wentz?
Not in love with Carson. I'm saying you can honestly say that Jimmy Garoppolo is far, far better, and Carson Wentz can never reach that level of Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's so amazing.
Six for eight for 77 yards yesterday. It was awesome.
I'm not a San Fran fan, but you know, I mean, this guy is just amazing. I'm compared to Carson Wentz. I mean,
you're just trying to be an idiot.
Does it get tiring being you?
Wait a second now. The NFC is wide open. Carson Wentz has a chance to get to that level, but there's no quarterbacks in the NFC.
Apparently he doesn't.
No, I mean, he doesn't. That's what I'm saying. We have an opportunity.
But you just said he does.
No, he if he was good enough.
Which one is it, Hodge?
All right, Hodge, let's just backtrack for a second.
You're arguing against yourself
now. Hodge, let's backtrack. Hodge, let's backtrack. Let's backtrack for a second. Let's backtrack for a second. So how do you, let's back up. What do you mean we love Carson Wentz like Sam?
Sam, when I was ripping Carson when she was screaming at me, I'm like, she wanted to put a knife in my back.
Oh my God! No, Sam would not in the back, in the front.
Yeah.
She'd get you in the front. All right,
well, maybe
she's a tough lady.
So you're right.
So she's like everybody else that's ever listened to you. Got it.
Yeah, right. Okay, later.
Does it get tiring being him? Like that's got to be exhausting, right? To force points that Jimmy G is leaps and bounds ahead of Carson Wentz.
Like, to say someone's not Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he's probably the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, that's like okay.
There's only one best quarterback in the league. Like, there's one.
But that's your hot take that you're coming in with, and then you go to Jimmy Garoppolo.
He threw the ball 8 times!
Here's where you would, and Bob, I don't want to insult you, but
no,
here's where
fine.
You and Jamie are alike.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Insult
I don't mean
taken.
I didn't go Egan on you. No.
And oddly enough, the Niners were 13-3 this year, pretty much the same record Carson Wentz led them to 2 years ago, and they were good and had talent around them.
You guys, when the caller calls in with that, I just enjoy you two. Like, I'm just like, look at you. Like Seinfeld would look at his co-stars on the show Seinfeld and be like, wow, those guys are really acting. Those guys are really into this. I'm like, wow, these guys are really annoyed by this guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a troll.
It's genuine annoyance.
It really is.
Yeah.
Hodge! And I'm just like, Hodge is hilarious. 610-632-0975. We got Jimmy. We got Mike. Open lines if you want to get on the final segment. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 9:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Baxter. Dumpster in a bag at your estate, Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Trey will be back with us tomorrow. He was, just having a park named after him.
I would have bet good money we would have heard from Trey today. I thought he'd give us
a
call.
He's taking a day. He's taking a day.
Apparently, according to the press release I was reading from this home state of Florida, it was a big party with free drinks and food for all. Yeah.
All right, now I'm pissed off. We weren't invited. Despite the fact that we already had a drink, being that we were iced.
That's true. He did ice us on his way out.
I'm not even going to lie. 100%, folks, this is not that all embellishment. I felt like crap all the rest of Friday. Like, I went home, I just took a nap. I felt like I had just drank sugar sticks all day.
You basically did.
Like all of a sudden my diet was healthy before then.
Instant diabetes.
Let's get to Jimmy Lehigh Valley. What's up, Jimmy?
Fellas.
Hey, buddy.
Jimmy the cable guy.
My man.
So I got two things. The Super Bowl, I got vesting interest in both teams. I really just want to see a good game. But I do have money on on FanDuel Sportsbook with a futures bet for Kansas City to win. So that gives me incentive for that.
Ah, there you go.
But I would also like to see San Francisco win, because then I think Jimmy G would take Dak's place in the Sleep Number commercials, and I'm tired of seeing that commercial.
These are all good points, Jimmy.
Yes.
These are all good points.
And then another thing, just about the birds. Honestly, I listen to you guys, I listen to Anthony, and I listen to Mike. And I tried listening to the other people the other day, and I heard Torty agreeing with people that they would get rid of Carson Wentz and wait for Trevor Lawrence to come out next year and be bad next year. I'm like, no, like
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that, Jimmy. I always say if you got an issue with a host, call that host. But I have, I have not heard that take.
Well, this is why I listen to you guys, because I heard you guys talking to Hodge, and I'm like, yeah, I can't listen to people like that. It's just it's mind boggling that people don't see that this guy puts a team on his back with nobody around him and gets us almost to where we need to be. Imagine where we would be if we had healthy wide receivers, our defense stayed healthy, everybody stayed healthy, our line stayed healthy. Imagine where he could have taken us.
I'm with you, Jimmy. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Jimmy, they should trade Wentz for Daniel Jones. Like, yeah. they totally should consider that.
And to Hodge's point that Mahomes has no people to throw to, best tight end in the league, fastest wide receiver in the league, Sammy Watkins, you know, whatever.
Graf on Twitter just sent us a side-by-side stats of Wentz versus Jimmy G, and let me just summarize
your laugh said it all.
By saying Hodge is an idiot.
Okay. can I give you, just real quick, you know how on Pro Football Reference or even baseballreference.com, they'll have the nicknames of players in their profile?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy GQ for
that's
Jimmy
a good
Garoppolo.
One. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Great Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Prince Aladdin.
He does kind of look like Aladdin.
Oh, yeah.
I think Jimmy GQ is the best.
Yeah, I like Jimmy GQ.
Yeah. Prince Aladdin.
Yeah, no.
Anyone going there on that team?
That's forced.
Feels forced. Mike, you'll round it out for us today. What's going on? Yo, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, good show. Hey, couple quick things regarding rooting interest. I'm all over the place. And game time, I think I'll make my decision because I'm not anti-Reed, even though he did some things that are really questionable, to say the least, when he was here as far as the X's and O's and then, like, other things. Like, remember when he fired that guy that worked because he put that something on social media and that was in the news for a while? Anyway, who cares about...
You talking about the security worker?
No. One of the guys who worked in like the marketing department. I forget exactly what it was, but it was on the talk radio for a while. There was an inconsistency. I'll call back with the specifics. But you were just talking about the guy from Nova on the Chiefs,
Tano Passanio.
Yeah. But you guys. Familiar with McGlinchey, the O lineman, obviously the Niners.
Yeah, he's Matt Ryan's cousin.
He's got a house down Ocean City.
Yep,
or no,
yep.
In and, Wildwood. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's a BC kid, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So I just figured I'd little props for him.
Oh, more hometown ties is your point? Okay, yeah, man.
Yeah, and then one last question. Speaking of hometown ties, were you guys like covering the Eagles when Mostert was with them? I tuned in late. I don't know if you talked about him a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
I bounced around for. Yeah, what was so he was on the practice squad as well under Chip. Is that right?
I don't know if he was on the practice squad. I just know that he got cut after training camp.
He never made it to the practice squad because they put him on waivers and the Dolphins picked him up. But the year he was here in the preseason, he had 390 yards from scrimmage, rushing and receiving. And basically they had to choose between him and Kenyon Barner, and they chose Barner.
Yeah, and it was pretty amazing because he didn't do a whole heck of a lot in 4 years since then.
No.
And now all of a sudden he's...
No, see, that's why I don't spike the football, no pun intended. Thanks for the call, Mike, on his success now. Like, I don't look at him.
The Eagles screwed up.
Yeah, but I know some people do because he was once here and now he's had success. 5 years later.
Yeah.
No, wait.
It's a cool story, though.
Hold on. 6 years later.
Yeah.
So, it is a cool story.
Yeah,
good for him.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm now rooting. I'm going to root wholeheartedly for the 49ers because of former Eagle Raheem Mostert. Sam Wilson, give me the final on our Twitter poll, please.
Today we asked, which best describes your emotions with Andy Reid making it back to another Super Bowl? Yeah, this is great. Or, meh, good for Andy. Don't care or angry. We had just under 2,900 votes. 45% said, yeah, this is great.
Oh, and what was second after that?
And then second place was 40% saying, meh, good for Andy.
Okay, well, look at that.
So majority rules.
Majority does rule by 1%. Sam, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is I am 100% Team Andy.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Jimmy Lynch.
My takeaway of the day is when Bob Cooney says he's going to go see a movie, don't trust him. He's lying to your face.
Bob Cooney.
My takeaway is don't listen to anything Jamie Lynch ever has to say.
That's not very nice, Bob.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, see? Look at yous two.
It never ends.
My takeaway of the day is that let's all be like Rob Lowe, at least, in this Super Bowl, and just root for a really fun game that we literally are going to enjoy. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.